Well, good evening, everybody. It's good to see everybody out tonight. Good crowd for a Wednesday night. I want to encourage you tonight, though, just because we've got a good crowd. Don't make that. You should make the. Don't let that make you shy. All right. We're going to have lots of opportunities tonight for you to share your heart, for you to input back and forth, and we learn that way. We learn that way by I'll ask you questions, and then we want to hear your thoughts, because you may have an insight or a nugget that needs to be shared with your neighbor. So. God and the Holy Spirit will use us all tonight as we study. If you would, turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. And tonight my title of my message is Practicing Righteousness. Before I get into the message, though, I want to give you a little update about what we experienced today, what we saw. One thing I came away from today when we delivered the supplies that you, church, have graciously showed up and submitted to us, and we had almost an entire van full of things to take up there. I saw the hands and feet of Jesus today. Did it look like organized and managed chaos? It did at times. But what I overwhelmingly saw were people meeting the needs and physical needs of the people. One thing I was always impressed about Jesus, whenever he went somewhere, he was always concerned. Before he taught the word, he was concerned about meeting the needs of the people. He often did that. You all remember he fed the 5,000. He met their needs, and then he began to speak the words of truth into their hearts. I saw that today. I saw a man who has spent his entire life in service to a community cheering people up. We went up not weary. Unlike some of these people in this community, but we ended up cheered up even more because of this man just oozing the love of Christ for those around him. There are still needs in that community that are not yet quantifiable. Samaritan's Purse is on the ground. We saw generators going out on ATVs. In Elk Mills area, Little Milgan Elementary School, Tennessee. Just almost to Johnson County line as you're going up Watauga Lake. Elk Mills and Wahampton was devastated. Elk Mills and the Pogie area, spelled P-O-G-A, but the Pogie area was absolutely devastated. They're saying sometime, maybe up into the months before they're going to receive utilities back. They're just really, really remote areas. I feel for these people because they're my people. My grandmother is from there. My mom, that's where she was raised. My ancestors, that's where they settled. So I feel for those people. They are a peculiar group of folks, but they most of them love the Lord, and it's evident by just going and seeing what's happening there. There are people from all over the state that had come to serve there. So thank you guys for making our donations possible. There'll be needs in the future, no doubt. Right now, I think the physical needs are being met, but there'll be some things that come up later on down the road. I am sure that we'll have an opportunity to serve in the future. So thank you for showing up as you always do. If we can, let's jump into the text. Romans chapter 6, and we're going to go to verse 12. And if you will stand with me one more time, if you're able, for the honor of the reading of this text. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourself to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Verse 15, what then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? Certainly not. Do you know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are the one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanliness and of lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, having been set free from sin, and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness, and in the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Lord God, we ask that you bless our time together. Lord, that you bless the teaching of your word. And Lord, that you bless our ears to hear your spirit tonight as he speaks through us through it. In your holy name we pray. Amen. So, what a powerful message that we just read. Practicing righteousness sounds intimidating, doesn't it? It's something that seems very lofty, that is nearly unattainable. But by God's grace, we're called to do it. When I think about practicing righteousness, I think about a little boy that's trying to learn to ride a bike, or a little girl, and they fall a few times, they get scraped up, but the little one keeps getting back on the bike, keeps trying to make it on the bike, determining to ride it like a pro. Parents to say, son, you know, falling is part of the learning. But staying down is giving up. Get back on the bike. Practicing righteousness is a little bit like that. We may stumble and fall. We may fall off the bike. But by God's grace, we're called to get back on that bike and keep trying to ride it. Let's look at verse 12 through 14 again. And I'm going to challenge us tonight to choose our master. It says, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall have no dominion over you. Imagine your life as a kingdom. Who sits on the throne? Sin will always try to barge in, and sin will always try to take that seat in your life. It'll always start to try to dictate to you and to give you orders. But who's the one king that deserves a seat in your life? Is it sin? It's who? It's Jesus. King Jesus can sit on that throne. King Jesus can sit on that throne. What are some ways that sin will try to reign in our daily lives? What are some ways that sin will try to reign in our daily lives? Who's going to be our icebreaker tonight? Sonny says if you do something that becomes a habit, sometimes sin becomes easy because it becomes a habit, right? Great answer, Sonny. Wonderful. What are some other ways that sin will try to reign in our lives?
Identifying ourselves as sinners rather than saints.
Tal says, by identifying ourselves as sinners rather than saints, that not realizing whose child you really are, right?
We're born again.
We're just set ourselves apart to live to a higher standard, to live holy, practice that righteousness. Are we going to fall? Are we going to fail? Absolutely, but get back on that bike. Get back on that righteousness bike. Anyone else? What are some ways? Yes, Steve. Satan knows every single weakness we have and how to exploit it. I spent some time doing IT work, and that is something that these hackers, and that's what Satan is like, a spiritual hacker. He knows every single weakness that he can exploit. Send in Trojan horses and just to disrupt our lives. And if we're not strong enough, we can't see, and we stay strong by reading God's Word, staying in prayer. If we're not strong enough to identify when Satan is trying to leech in, he surely will, for sure. Anyone else? What are some ways that sin tries to reign in our daily lives?
Sin deceives us.
Sin deceives us. Sin is a deceiver. Sin deceives us. So how can we allow, my next question, how can we allow Jesus to take His rightful place as King in those areas? How can we allow Him to take His rightful place as King?
So for me, I think sin plays out in my mind, repeating things to me that aren't true. And the way I allow Jesus to take His rightful place is to go to God's Word and see the truth, not the lies that are playing out in my head.
So you counteract those negative sin that keeps flooding, the temptation that we face, and our tendencies to lean in toward temptation. We counteract those with God's truth that you find in His Word. Staying in God's Word, folks, is our key to practicing righteousness. It all boils down to that. Spending time in God's Word, and not just reading it, but acting on it. Believing the promises that He's given you, but also taking those promises and living it out each and every day. It's one thing to read about God's love, but like today, Keith Boyd and Benny and Miss Debbie and I, we witnessed people living out their faith today. Anyone else? How can we allow Jesus to take His rightful place as King in our lives?
Prayer.
Say it one more time, Benny.
Prayer, talk to Him, and living.
Prayer and living.
Listening to the hard part.
Living at the hard part. Yep. Let's move to verse 15. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slave whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? Notice that contrast there. Sin leads to death. Obedience leads to righteousness. But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. Verse 18. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. Verse 19. I speak in human terms because the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanliness and of lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. So back in verse 13, Paul encourages us to present ourselves to God as being alive from the dead. It's like God is the ultimate musician, and we are the instruments. He's ready to make beautiful music in your life. So I tell this joke sometimes in my band class. I've done it a few times, and it always gets a good laugh. There was this tuba player. It's always a tuba player, right? And he could only play one note. And no matter what the song was, he'd play that one note over and over. Why? And finally somebody asked, why are you only playing one note? And he said, well, all the musicians are searching for the right notes. I found mine. So let's not be like that tuba player, content for the bare minimum. Instead, let's play the melody that God He can use. What are some practical ways that we can be instruments of righteousness further in our community? What are some practical ways that we can be instruments of righteousness in our lives? So, Carol says God calls us to witness. So, absolutely.
Respond to that with something that God has done in your life.
So Janet's saying that we can take our life experiences and the truths that we have learned of God's love and hit through His Word. And when somebody comes along, we can share that shared experience through the lens of God's Word to those folks. Right? Yes, Sonny. Practice love. Don't display any anger or resentment. We're back to that word practicing. And thank you, Sonny. That's what I want us to understand. We're not going to be perfect all the time. There's going to be times where we blow it because we, as Brother Willard said, I believe a quotation, we've got more Adam in us than a dog has fleas, right? So there's going to be some times that we mess up because of our nature. And I believe that's what Paul is trying to say here. But he's saying as much as free as you were, as free as you were to do that, let's be as free to do righteousness. So, and that takes a constant circumcision of your heart to say, I'm going to deny myself and I'm going to follow you. When your tendencies go toward sin, sometimes it will take all your might. But I promise you that the Holy Spirit, that's why we have the Holy Spirit, y'all, living within us, is to help us accomplish this righteousness that He's calling us to be. Y'all follow me? So, some more folks, tell me what are some practical ways we can be instruments of righteousness?
It's like you saw today, Brother Joy, out there are people working, serving others in the name of Jesus. A lot of them are saints and servants.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus, I hand those things out. I've seen those news.
Yes. I listened to a lady today tell me how she was having a breakdown because she was a teacher at Hampton High School, and 29 years of her teaching materials, things she owned, and her livelihood completely upended and disrupted. And she was telling me that she was there working, getting aid boxes, and a church from Memphis had sent these boxes in, and on the boxes they had written out not just Bible verses, but wrote the Bible verses out. And she was lifting these boxes, and every verse she picked up touched her and uplifted her. And that was an act that these folks sending aid did not have to do, but yet they took the time to do. And they, by serving them, by writing that out, they served someone that they didn't even know. So sometimes those acts really go a long way into lifting somebody's day or making somebody see who Jesus really, really is.
Joey, this is a great analogy.
Yeah.
Think about a tuba. Where does a tuba normally sit? In a case?
Right.
And then when the person who's going, they pull it out and they start blowing on it. So we ought to be that tuba that when God picks it up, allow Him to blow what His breath, the same breath that created the world, to flow through us, and the sound and the music that comes out is from Him, and all we are is that instrument of whatever He wants. It's a great picture.
So, Lee says, if you're going to be a tuba in the band, don't sit in the case. Get out and be played, right? Get out and share. You've got beautiful music within inside of you. Let the Holy Spirit come through you and be that instrument. Yes.
Everybody is not a soldier.
Show your fruits of righteousness, right?
Honesty, kindness, meekness, goodness, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, and temperance. If we show those, then we're doing well.
Right. Right. Did y'all hear? That was absolutely wonderful. Exactly. Fruits of the Spirit, right? Fruits of the Spirit. We start showing those to others, we're going to be on the right track. We're moving in the right direction for sure. Let's jump to verse 20. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of these things is death. But now, having been set free from sin, and you having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness, and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. For the wages of sin is death. One of the most probably well-known scriptures in the Bible. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the ultimate choice, folks. Well, death or life. If we live according to sin, the wages that we are due is death. But if we accept God's gift, we receive life. And let's not only do we receive life, but we can be life-giving to others around us. Sometimes it's not all just about what we get in the fire insurance out of this accepting Christ and accepting His righteousness and putting on Christ. It's about what we can do to be life givers to others around us. What does it mean? I'm going to skip one question. What does it mean to you personally that God's gift is free while sin has a cost? What's it mean to you personally that God's gift is free while sin has a cost? What's that?
It's available.
It's available, but you have to be obedient and take it. Anyone else? Answer my question with a question. Okay. I would agree that Jesus paid it all. Not to be confused with works. Right. Not to be confused with there's any works that you can do to equate that, right? Okay. So, yes, that's what we're talking about, this practicing righteousness. So that is the cost to this, is practicing righteousness. And there definitely is persecution in that type of way too. We often think persecution is what missionaries would face. But for sure, people often face that type of persecution. And sometimes it does cost. But that's why we have to say, and Paul said it, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. No matter the cost, right? No matter the cost. Yes. Right.
I think we have to also consider what we receive when we accept God's free gift.
Right.
What else can we
do? And that we're no longer a slave to that sin. But instead, a slave to righteousness is what Paul's saying here, right? That's right. Servant. That's fine, Ms. Randy. Did y'all hear that? Servant versus slave. Practicing righteous is about choosing each and every day to let Jesus be the King of our lives. It's about presenting ourselves as an instrument to His glory. It's about embracing life that He offers instead of those empty wages of sin. Let me leave you with this. Just like that boy, again, that was learning to ride the bike, we might fall. But the key is that we get back up and we keep practicing that righteousness. We got a Savior who's not only willing to forgive, but also gives us the strength to back it up. The grace of God is not just a safety net. It's also the power that helps us move forward. So let's go out today and let's practice righteousness, knowing that we're playing a part in God's beautiful medley. So let's all stand. I've held us a little too long. I apologize for that. What's that?
It's our fault we answer the question.
No, it's not your fault at all. That's exactly what we want. That's exactly what I've got to ask less questions, maybe, so we have more time to answer. So I'm learning this too. This is a new format. So I'll get it down sooner or later. Lord, we thank you, God, for that you have set us free from the slavery of sin. Lord, we thank you that you have given us new life. Lord, help us to practice righteousness each and every day. Lord, help us live as your instrument Lord, help us to choose life over death. Lord, I ask that you strengthen us. Lord, I ask that you guide us. Lord, and I ask that you use us for your glory and your glory alone. Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. So, as we end tonight, is there an area in your life where you feel like sin is trying to regain control? I'm going to pray for you again. I'm going to pray that God strengthen you and that you find comfort in His Word. And just as Miss Babs said, that as you encounter these temptations and these tendencies, that He brings, like on recall, the Word of God back to your memory and mind, and that you can counter-program Satan with the Word of God. Lord, again, Lord, I want to bring these people to you. Lord, there may be areas in which they are have tendencies to sin. Lord, we all have areas in which we have tendencies to sin. I do as well. Lord, I ask that we find comfort and solace in your Word. Lord, that for one, that we can resist temptation of sin. Lord, that sin does not have to be the boss of us. Lord, and help us put you, Jesus, on the throne of our lives. And Lord, may you rule, and may sin not rule. Lord, we love you, and we thank you, and we praise you in your holy name. Amen. Can I do anything for anybody? Can I pray for anybody? All minds, hearts clear? If so, choir practice, we're going to be out here tonight. We're still time. We started our Christmas musical. You're still time to join the choir and come along and sing with us. We have a place for you. We'd love to have you. If that's the case, all minds clear, you're dismissed.